This is the Real Magic Podcast. Learn about great design and use it to get great results. Now your hosts, Greg Merrilees and Alan Nunez.
Hello, listener, and thank you for joining Greg and I today for the Real Magic Design Podcast, where we try to unpack our experience to help designers and business owners understand how to create amazing designs and work together to make design that is profitable. I'm Alan from Pixel Partners, and here is my amazing co-host, Greg from Studio One Design.
It's awesome to be here, man, as always. So this week we've got another very exciting guest, but before we get stuck in, what have you been up to? What's been happening in your world, Al?
Mate, I have been thinking retail, right? Not retail therapy, not shopping. As you know, we do a lot of work in packaging, and we also do quite a bit of work in retail. And I've been thinking about the whole process, you know, the advertising and the marketing and the design that goes into that to get the customer into the store, the shop fit out, the point of sale, the uniforms, and ensuring that, you know, the money that's being spent on all that is getting a return. You know, and I was inspired to actually dig deeper into this and, you know, try and get some new learnings for my clients. And this is going to sound silly, but it came from me taking my kids bowling, you know, 10-pin bowling. Now, awesome. If you, I don't know if you've taken your family 10-pin bowling lately, but a company in Australia called AMF Bowling have done an absolutely unbelievable job of revamping the industry. You know, their bowling alleys are bright, they're exciting, they've got fluorescent artwork up, they have music pumping in the background. It's almost like a disco. It's not certainly not the 10-pin bowling I did when I was young. And it's more about having fun and playing the game than it is about winning the game. You know, it's like winning the game is a byproduct of having a great time. And what actually inspired me was, yeah, that experience. But then as I walked out of my local AMF bowling centre, I saw another business directly outside the bowling alley desperately trying to get customers. You know, I mean, he was literally outside his store begging people to come in and try what he had to offer, you know. And he was another, you know, gaming experience style business. And I instantly saw these massive flaws in his retail design. I've got these customers who have retail businesses, right? So, you know, I just thought to myself, you know, I have to really think about this because I don't want one of my customers to be in that position where they're begging for business. So, yeah, it's been really, really interesting. And I actually went back and sat outside this guy's business for an hour and just watched what was happening and noted all the stuff he had in store and how everything was designed. So, yeah.
Cool, man.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
It's definitely interesting. It's been fun. Anyway, what have you been doing?
Look, I just want to touch on that. So did you get to see the type of customers that were going into his store, and were they his target customer?
Well, they weren't going into his store.
Okay. Yep.
Look, I think the issue with any retail environment is activity creates activity, right? If you have the best position in a shopping center or a Westfields, and every shop around you is busy and yours is empty, people will not go into your shop.
Yeah, exactly. It's right? Like when we go to a restaurant, if there's nobody in it, we won't go in.
Absolutely, right? Yeah. So his biggest problem was that, yeah, the first thing that I saw was that he has a screen in the retail area showing what's going on inside the actual experience. So it's like a 3D gaming interactive experience. You know, it's probably just an extension on some of those 3D rides you see at theme parks, right? But it was empty. The chairs were empty. Nothing was happening,
okay,
right? So, you know, I mean, the first thing that I would do is change that. I'd either be playing a recorded version where people are having an amazing time or I would be getting people in there for free just so that the seats are full. You know, making that feel like it's a place that everybody's going.
Yeah, and so it's interesting you say those two points. So one is social proof, which is what you would do in a website design as well.
Absolutely.
And the other is
driving traffic. It's just getting people in there no matter what.
Exactly. Having a free offer is what I was trying to say. So you're creating a funnel.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Good stuff.
Yeah, so cool, what have you been doing?
All right, so planning the year, essentially. And, you know, I'm talking about planning marketing, setting goals, you know, contacting old clients and shaking the trees and what else is out there. But, yeah, just really planning for growth, essentially. So, yeah, it's exciting.
I love shaking the tree.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't it amazing how many business owners sit there and complain they don't have work, but they don't do something as simple as just shouting out an offer to see what falls, you know, or even just sending an offer to their existing customers and or asking them, do you have any work for us?
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. It's so much easier to get repeat business than to get new business.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So what do we got going on today?
All right, let's get stuck in, hey? So, all right, Al, on this podcast, we're interviewing a very special guest by the name of Jamie McKean from jamiemckean.com and automatingyou.com.
Yes, and Jamie is here today to dig deep into the best way to design your sales funnel, potentially save thousands on wasted advertising and marketing, and he is going to tell you the most important thing in your business that you should design before you redesign your website. Jamie's going to teach us how breadcrumbs can give us winning design for your marketing and the importance of feedback in the design process. So let's get into it. Jamie, it is awesome to have you here today, mate. Thanks for joining us. How are you today?
I'm great. I'm really good, thank you. It's a bit warm over here in New Zealand, but as you said just before we press record, in a tin shed. But I'm doing okay. I'm at the beach. I'm doing okay. It's quite nice.
Oh, it is a tough life for some, isn't it? Jamie, for the sake of our listener, you know, you've had a pretty interesting and amazing journey over the last few years in business. Can you just share with us, you know, what you're doing today and how you got to where you are today?
Okay, I guess we'll do the short version because how long's the podcast for? 20 minutes?
Oh, you've got 3 or 4 hours if you like.
Take your time, man.
Okay, so for listeners, if you're in a car, just pull over. And if you're at home, get a nice, comfortable couch, put the coffee on. And now let's do the short version, shall we? So, short version for me, where I am today, my website is Automating You, and we specialize in helping market leaders or experts in this space leverage themselves through online marketing. Now, it's been a journey for me to get to this point. If you want to know more about it, go to jamiemckean.com, read the About Jamie. It says at the top about a 19-minute read, right? But the short version is and thinking about this podcast before I got here, and you were very organized. Thank you for sending me the questions beforehand. Very good, guys. The journey's been around offering and being very agile, offering something that people need on one side, so minimum viable product, but on the other side, on the own journey, on the journey of being true to yourself. And many business owners will find this, entrepreneurs, designers, etc., as they go through their own journey, finding work that they do that isn't work anymore. So now, I just mentioned I'm at the beach. I'm going to spend most of the month here. And to be able to do this, have a lifestyle that can do this with the family and do something I love, there's not much of what I do that would be classed as work. So it's pretty cool. It's taken a long while to get here. It's a very good learning journey, which I love helping people go through themselves. So there's two aspects there, the agile aspect and also the personal / professional journey to mold a business around what I'm wanting to achieve as well. Does that answer the question?
Yeah. Well, how did you start out in the internet space?
I started out as a business consultant helping other companies and then thought to myself, okay, I'm going to run out of clients soon. I need to start doing some marketing. Did some marketing, then got too many clients. So I had to move to business coaching because I didn't have enough time for consulting. Very quickly, I got a lot of other coaches and consultants asking me, well, how do you do that, Jamie? So I started teaching them. And I've been online for quite a number of years now. But then just as I was running my own business from about 6 years ago and applying that online aspect to it and getting leads through the online, finding it really easy to do and then teaching other people. So I guess to answer your question directly, it was more out of necessity to bring business in and exploring online, and it worked pretty quickly.
Nice. And then it just evolved into, you know, into what your business is today.
Evolved into really my business today is walking the talk. So everything I teach people or do for other people, I've done it myself. And so it's through all the scars on my back and making sure things do and don't work.
Excellent. Yeah. And that's why it doesn't feel like work, which I love. I mean, I'm the same. I guess you're the same too, Al. We, you know, we're designers by heart, or you're a photographer by heart, but it's a similar thing. And it's your passion and they've, you know, turned into a business like myself.
I don't get to go to the beach though, you know. I'm doing something wrong, Jamie. We have to have a chat after this podcast, and I've got to work out how do I get myself to a beach for a month.
Well, we met up at the airport. Now, next we need to meet at one of the beach houses. Easy.
Yeah, well, the photos of my last business trip look like I spent all the time in glorious, you know, crystal clear water in the Philippines, which wasn't entirely true.
Great. So, Jamie, how does design fit into your business today?
From my own business and from a client's as well, for me, design is all about the experience. So you actually design the experience and you design then what people expect at each stage. So for me, the evolution of my own design has gone from making things really quickly and I'm not looking so flash. You guys would likely roll your eyes, and Greg, when we started working together, you did, I'm sure. Really? You do all of that for all these people and that's your website, Jamie? But in the early stages with the agile approach, with it just being as get something up, it was all about speed versus beauty.
Yeah.
And now, though, with my changes in my websites lately, again, the whole thing is designed around experience. So the Automating You website is designed around teaching people about automation and leverage, because that's what we do for people. And the whole site is geared around showing that, like the walk in the talk. Whereas my Jamie McKean site, which has a video behind the scenes of me doing some, just doing what I do in the day, and it's got one of my daughters in the video, that's trying to show who I am, because people really go to Jamie McKean to check me out. And guess what? There's a button at the top that says check me out here because I've designed it for the experience, because I know what my target market is looking for when they come hunting for me. And they might have heard me on a podcast, or they see me, someone else has emailed out about me, or because quite a lot of the work I do is behind the scenes for other people. And so when they do say, who's Jamie, what does he do? Then I've designed an experience. So when they go looking, I call it breadcrumbs. They follow the breadcrumbs to my house, my home, and I welcome them with open arms and off we go.
So really, ultimately, you have a clarity on why you're designing everything that you design.
Correct. It's why for the who and the what thereafter to the outcome that I'm hoping to give for them.
Nice. And I think that's something that we talk about all the time. And I know it sounds like I must harp on about this, but it is having clarity prior to a brief. You know, it's knowing who you're talking to and why you're talking to them, and having a really strong singular message. And I think that's what I get out of what you were saying with the breadcrumbs, Jamie. If I'm correct, each one of those breadcrumbs is a strong singular message leading to the next.
Correct. And it's the strong message which, in essence, builds a little bit more trust each time for the know, like, and trust process for someone in the marketing path or marketing funnel. And it's making sure that you've put the right breadcrumb out for the right person, because too many people try to market to too many target markets and wonder why nothing works. So what I spend a lot of time with my clients is to be very focused on, my language is avatars, a very specific avatar, the very specific offer for them, and that journey for that avatar to get that end result.
And you get a much better result by niching down, especially if you start with an avatar.
Yeah, right? Indeed. And that's exactly right, yeah.
Awesome.
Jamie, in your marketing experience, right, I mean, you talk about the breadcrumbs and everybody leading through to getting the person to where you want them to be. So in your marketing experience, how important is the quality of design? And where would you recommend that a business owner invest their time and money first? I mean, like you said, for you, being agile was important first, and then you improved on the design side of things. Is that what you'd recommend to other business people today? Or would you say skip that first step and get it looking good?
It depends on what stage that business is at. If that business is a high net worth business, high revenue, need a lot of a high trust, then you're going to want the imagery, the branding, the look and feel to be as high an impact as the dollar value. On the flip side, if you're just getting started, then would you go out and spend 6, 8, 10 grand on a website? No. Well, I'd say no, but probably 8 out of 10 people I speak to who are just getting started don't need that. They think they do, but what they actually need is a marketing funnel that works. And you can do that by having a really good landing page, an effective landing page, focused at the right target markets. Get them opting in for a certain ebook. You want the ebook to look good, so you're going to want good quality at the ebook and the landing page stage, and then the follow-up with the emails. That's the automation that I teach people. You get that right, you can start making money literally without a website.
Yeah, I fully agree. Concentrate on getting a client first and then build the website out.
And then there's somewhere in between as well. If a client has an okay website, but their funnels are just rubbish, then and there is a better technical term for rubbish, but we'll stick with rubbish, not converting, you don't know the traffic, you don't know the numbers, you're just spending money and it's not working. That's the further definition of rubbish. Then you fix your funnels and your website literally in parallel or very close together, because you'll have the funds to do it. Likely you're offline and you may say, oh, referrals bring me 80 or 90% of my business. Big risk there that you are truly reliant on other people. You want to take control of that, and that's when you control your own marketing, put the money where it works, etc.
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting what you say is a lot of people go, oh, I need a new website, right? But really, you just need a landing page or a sales page. You know, design the parts, focus your design on the part that's going to give you a return and revenue, and then build out the rest from there.
Again, from experience, it's so many, almost too many business owners have come across that say, I've just spent $12,000 on radio, or I've just spent $10,000 on yellow pages, or I just spent $20,000 on a website. I say, okay, or new branding. I said, okay, why did you do that? Yeah, well, the radio person said it would be a good idea, or yellow pages person said it was great. What it tells me is that the business owner, unfortunately, doesn't have the right knowledge to know the right questions to understand exactly what they need to fix in the business. So when someone turns up with a solution, they think that's the right solution. They put a whole lot of faith and a lot of money into these spaces, which usually end up with very little, if any, return. Don't get me started on things like Yellow Pages and radio. It will become a three-hour one. Anyway, but it gets me angry because they literally advantage of people.
They do.
But to simplify what I just said, a lot of business owners, and if this is you, just take this in the nice way, in the right way, of if you don't know what question to ask, cool, just go get some help. But don't rely on a salesperson who probably gets commission off selling things to you. It's not in your best interest, it's in their best interest. So find people who are working with you for your best interest.
Absolutely. And look, if you are going to invest in TV or press advertising or radio or yellow pages, don't have them do the design. You know, engage somebody who understands your business and knows the results that you want to get, and have it coordinated with all the other parts of your marketing or sales funnel. You know, I'm sure, Jamie, you've got clients who you'll have a very nice working campaign going along, and they will go and dump 10 grand on a full page ad and not consult with you at any time in that process. And they'll have the designers from the newspaper slap something together.
I haven't had clients do that without telling me, but I've seen people do that separately from other campaigns, and yes, things like that can help. It's almost like the petrol on the fire, but you need it all set up properly first. You need to know. The only people I truly know who should be in Yellow Pages are emergency plumbers and emergency lawyers, because you're stuck, and nowadays most of them are online as well, or emergency electricians when the power's gone out and you don't get the internet, right? It should be just a little handbook, tiny little one. Emergency sparkies and emergency plumbers, that's all it should be. Yes, there's the old people who like that, but the old people are coming more and more online.
I mean, Yellow Pages is pivoting now, and they are, you know, really pushing their online, and their printed directory is becoming less relevant. I don't know whether they're doing a good job of their online presence or not. But I guess my point is that, you know, be coordinated with how you design all your campaigns. You know, if you are going to do it, make a consolidated effort and have, you know, find a single point of call, a person, whether it's internal or external, who understands your business and the results you want to get when you spend money on any marketing activities.
Understanding the target market. Does that target market look in Yellow Pages? Does that target market listen to radio? What's the breadcrumbs that we're trying to create for them? And also, how do we track it to make sure when we spend some money, we can come back and check that that money was returned itself?
That's exactly what I was going to say. And that's the beauty of what you teach and, you know, the service that you offer, is that everything's trackable and measurable. You can't get that with a TV ad directly.
Well, the TV people will tell you you can't, and the radio people will tell you you can't. But if your radio ad says go to jamie.com/TV, then you can track how many people go to that website. A lot of radio and TV people will not tell you that, or don't know it themselves.
Yeah, and most ads don't have a call to action, which is odd. How do you maintain the quality of design, you know, that you use in your business, and how does it continue to evolve?
Well, the simple answer is to give it to you to do, Greg. That's the simple answer. How do we maintain it? Well, we build, once we've given you the concepts and you've come back with the designs and have said, yeah, like that, thank you, or we tweaked it a bit, then that becomes the templates. And so in essence, the design is done, and then it's more spending time on the language. and the evolution of the journey of each of the avatars in my business that I'm aiming for.
Yeah.
And now with the progression of my business, I'm spending a lot of time helping other coaches, consultants, and market leaders in their space be a partner with them. And so now the collateral that I build will be, in essence, being white labeled with those people. So it's also not only reflecting our own brand, but helping them reflect their brand. So that's the evolution, is to ensure that anyone we work with is going to look really good as well.
Yeah, fantastic. So, I mean, yeah, essentially you're always evolving based on who your avatar is, and that can shift and change.
Correct.
Yeah.
Cool.
And I think what I'm hearing too is, and I think this is something that we hear commonly with successful businesses, is that you are finding an expert that works for you and your business, and you're engaging them to build out the design on a consistent basis. Do you find it's better to work with one designer or one design team over a long period of time, or do you chop and change between designers depending on what you're doing?
I'm not an unfaithful type of person to sleep around like that. No, I don't have that type of relationship. To answer your question a little less comically, though, in the early days, I've tried lots of designers and have even had in-house designers that was doing work for clients, that have been working for clients. But I've found through my own business evolution and what I'm... And I look, many years ago, I was relatively good at art, A-level art many years ago. So I've got an artistic eye, but that doesn't mean I'm a very, very, very good online marketing designer. And so I shopped around, found someone who's very good, and now consider them quite good friends. Are we, Greg?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. Just checking. Okay. So, I've gone through the different ways of possibly trying to do it and trying to save some money, cut corners, etc. And all it does is bite you in the ass. Pardon my French, but...
Yeah, it takes you longer, costs you more. And I think that's the interesting thing with both Greg's clients and my clients, is that when they engage with us, it's not engaging with a single designer. You're actually engaging with a team, and that team can be very flexible, gives you redundancy. You know, when you send a job to Greg, it's going to be done. It's going to be done well. So, look, I'm curious. I mean, we've given Greg a few shameless plugs, and that's okay because it is our podcast. But for your own website and your own marketing, you sort of alluded to the fact that, some of the stuff in your early days wasn't what you consider pretty or beautiful. You know, at what point in your business did design really become important? What was the aha moment where you said, you know what, it's just not acceptable to keep putting this crap out?
Well, let's just define crap. Hold on.
Well, we can put it in the same place as rubbish, maybe.
Rubbish is slightly different to crap. Crap, from a design perspective, I didn't know any better, right? So it's the evolution of online. And I guess to answer your question, it's twofold. Number one, seeing what is available out there. And threefold. Number one, seeing what's out there. Number two, getting feedback off either current or prospective clients, going, well, we were going to go with you, but we checked out your website. And number three, the actual headspace, because I have my own services team, and it takes a good while, you both know this, to build a really successful services team, a whole lot of headspace and time. Mm. Once they start to take traction and you get more of the headspace, then that headspace can be used to say, okay, how can I improve different areas of my business? And so those three together brought me to a point to say, okay, especially where we sell ourselves, we sell websites, we sell online marketing solutions. We get referrals from lots of places all over the world, including people like HubSpot refer to us directly, which is great. And we want to make sure as well, like I said before, that we're making those people look good. So when HubSpot refer to us and they look at our website, they've got confidence and their clients have got confidence that these people know what they're doing because they walk the talk. Yeah. So does that answer the question?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So just quickly to clarify, what I heard there was your aha moment came in multiple places. It came in having the capacity and the ability to improve your design, but you talked about feedback, you know. So really you got to a point where you were getting feedback that your current design wasn't to a standard that your clients expected.
Correct. And it's also it was upgrading clients as well.
And has the new design increased your percentage of upgraded clients?
Yeah. It just allows us to, in the right way, increase our prices to be able to better service a different level of clients.
Yeah, understood. Yeah, that makes total sense. And look, you build a lot of websites for clients, and obviously you've got a good design team, but you know, you have a lot to do with that as well. So what are your top three tips that you could give our listener for improving conversions on a website?
Oh, top three tips. Okay. I had a great saying the other day. I'm not sure which order this would be in, one, two, or three, but a great saying was that a website is today's version of a Tamagotchi. Yeah. Remember what one of those things were, the little things you have to keep alive and always keep playing with.
Yes, 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 yep.
For every one of our generation, they'll be going, I remember that. And that's what it is. So one of the three would be knowing that a website's not just, it's like a puppy, it's not just for Christmas. You're going to keep looking after it for a long time, right?
Yeah.
That's one of them. Number two is making sure that it's, you have a very clear strategy from an avatar perspective. So I regularly get people say, I want a quote for a website. I say, that's great. Tell me what your online strategy is. When people don't know it, I actually have a discrete service, which is a session to do online strategy. If they don't know that, I don't want to sell them a website. So one of the three will be making sure you've got clear focus on who you're trying to talk to, because that's the design and the language of the site. And then number three, making sure that we take advantage of the science that's out there today in terms of things like heat map tracking. Because we know, you two, I'm sure, know this. I know you know this, actually. But when you design a website, the capital F on the screen,
yep.
Everyone who's listening to this who knows anything about website design should know that. Of that's where the eyes go, and that's been tested by heat map tracking on most websites. It changes slightly, but again, the heat map tracking's out there. So that's taking advantage of established research, and also then making sure you can track for yourself so that you can make changes based on the numbers. I think I gave you four there. Sorry. You
asked. That's all right.
Well, you'll have to take one back.
Okay. I can't. Sorry, it's already gone. Let me try and make them a little bit more succinct. Number one was making sure there's tracking on your site. Number two is making sure you're taking advantage of past research to get the best layout. Number three is having a focused strategy, aka avatar and paths for it. And what was number four?
Number four was knowing that your website's a puppy. You know, it's going to take continued love.
I guess I gave two different examples. My brain went, well, that's enough, and forgot about it. making sure that you know it's a live thing and you're going to keep adding to it. So blogs, writing blogs, and making sure that you're giving value to people and leading them to the next step of what that stage is for them, and just continually adding. Because if someone's checking you out and they go to your website and your last blog was December 2008, that makes you look like, okay, it's almost like walking into a someone's house. It's a very dirty house, and you're coming to interview them for a cleaner's job.
Yeah.
And you look around and go, well, do I really want this person? You go to someone's website and it says 2008. Well, are they going to be as diligent with my business as they are with their website? So those types of things. So
I think the Tamagotchi or the puppy analogy is awesome. I mean, so many people come and want a website designed, and they think it's a one-shot deal, you know, and really it's not. It's a living organism that needs to be cared for and grow with your business on a daily basis.
Indeed, indeed.
What have you got that's exciting in your business, your business and your life over the next 6 to 12 months, Jamie? Tell us a little bit about, you know, what's going on.
Business and life. Okay. Are we going back to the armchair conversation? People can sit down.
Well, apart from the beach, yeah.
Let's do it quickly. So the end of last year, and it's going to continue all the way through this year, is building partnerships with other coaches, consultants, and leaders who are very good at what they do, but they're not very good with the online space. And they want to partner with someone in the online space they can trust and who has scale to be able to service their clients. I put that out there at the end of last year and I've had so many meetings with other clients and consultants, coaches and consultants, who are saying, we've been looking for someone who we can trust. We've been following you for a while, Jamie. And I share with them the journey of building a scalable team. They see the quality of what comes out. So that's going to be the key focus for the business in terms of scale and building a team. 20 today, but building the team and partners, aka Greg's team, etc., out so that we can best help people in that regard, from a online marketing, the websites, through to the automation, the funnels, the whichever CRM it is behind, whether it's set up or manage, etc., all of those things. to help people with. That's on the business side. On the personal side, already got three young children, not going to have any more, but just looking forward to sleep, really. That's probably the personal side.
I love it. That's awesome, Jamie. Well, look, you've absolutely, you know, provided a ton of killer tips there. So we really appreciate that. And I'm sure the listener does too. So just let people know where they can connect with you.
Cool. Yeah. To find out more, just come to Automating You. So as you spell it, Y-O-U at the end.com. Go have a look there. You'll see the automation in practice. You'll see certain pages you can't actually see until you opt in. When you opt in, you'll see your name appear in places. It's a very dynamic website, again, trying to walk the talk to show people what can be truly done to tailor an experience for someone. That's automatingyou.com.
Fantastic, mate. Cool. All right. So, Alan.
Jamie, I just want to, you know, on behalf of the listener, again, say thank you. And there is a really, really important question that I've got to ask you that we've been asking all our interview guests. And I don't know if you're well prepared for this or not, but if there was a song that you could play over and over and over again and never get sick of it, what would it be?
I'm going to have to disappoint you. I can't really give you one song. I'm an ex-semi-professional DJ, so I love my music.
Seriously?
Yeah, seriously. Oh. I've got a face for radio. So anything house/dance music and also acoustic music, love those. And I've been teaching myself both piano and singing lessons to try and do it. That's why I started being a DJ. I could never play an instrument or sing. Now I'm trying to fix that one. But acoustic or dance music, either of those two, usually I can listen to most of the day and usually do.
Do you have a specific artist like in the DJ scene that has dance music?
Not really. Depends, again, it's mood driven as well. So yeah, if I'm on the way to sports or football, I've got certain songs I play to get me amped up. If I want to, the office at home has speakers all around the room, so it can become a disco, literally.
To give me a break. So, when I've Skyped you, you have to go, wait a minute, just turn off this.
Wait a minute. There's a few. No is the answer. No single one. There's too many.
That's fine, man. Cool. Well, it's been a great conversation. We really appreciate having you here. You really have shared some incredible knowledge. So thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thanks, Jamie. It's awesome having you here. And I look forward to catching up with you next time.
Yeah, cheers, Al. See ya.
See you, mate.
Thanks for listening to the Real Magic Podcast.